And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out, broadcasting from our home at BCFM across the southwest of England.
And now southwest Wales. A very warm welcome to you all. Today on the show, it's Sasky Girl, Under the Brolly and Socks.
Sassy's back with 5 minutes of fun. Steph talks to the director of the film Girl. And Under the Brolly is back. And of course, let's have a sock fight.
All that and more in the next hour.
Right here on Shout Out. Hello, one and all. Hello.
One and, am I, one am and I, all. Is that all I am to now? One and all.
Well, what else would you? I was talking to the listeners anyway, not you.
Well, is that all they are to you?
Hello, one and
You're
all.
Being very harsh to everyone this evening, Andrew.
Oh, here we go. Call me Andrew already. We're like 10 seconds into the show. So, hello, Zook. How are you?
Hi. A bit sleepy, but ready to roll.
And you've washed your socks.
Oh.
You're going to be taking your shoes off any second, and you haven't washed your socks?
I'll just go quickly find my spares.
Okay.
I got it hidden somewhere.
So now, regular listeners may remember, we've talked to you before about sock wrestling, wasn't it? Is it sock wrestling or sock fighting? What do we call it?
Sock wrestling,
How did it go?
Oh, it was so nice.
Was it?
Yeah, it was lovely. It's such a great night. It's got a bit of a school disco vibe. People get really into it.
Explain the premise of it to us. How? Because it's fun, isn't it? It's not like a real wrestle three to the ground type thing, is it?
Yeah. It's meant to be fun, and it really is. We just set up the space to have some mats in it, and then you have one opponent, and you each are wearing one sock. And the rest of your clothes.
I'm glad you clarified.
And you try to wrestle each other's sock off until you manage, and then you win if you've got a sock in your hand.
So the idea would to be to wear tight socks.
Well, I don't know. I provide the socks. I get some of those colourful ones from Primark, and then I just so that everyone's got the same sock situation.
And you
rent
them out to the...
No, I don't. They're just donation, because we end up with quite a few ripped socks by the end of the evening as well.
Oh, is that rough?
Well, people get really excited, you know. They really want to win. Right. They want to get that sock.
You need to put the rules up, though, don't you? You need to get that out there, because when people are listening to this, they're going to say, I want to be involved. Is it as good as Twister?
It's better than Twister,
for sure. I bet it's more fun.
Yeah, we've got a commentator.
A naked Twister?
I feel like that came up last time as well.
Oh, did
you?
Oh,
I got that in mind.
My bad.
Oh, Steph. you're setting the precedent here. You know.
Obviously.
Well, you're in to talk to us, because there's another event coming up.
Yeah. So it's the third time it's happening. It's at Eastern Community Centre in Bristol, and I do it as a fundraiser every time. So it's happening on the 29th of March. It's a Friday. So really soon. And just get everyone wrestling, and in the meantime, just get donation money.
What's the charity? Who are you raising money
for? So this time we're raising money for Future Festival, which is a festival happening next year in spring, aimed at trans, non-binary and intersex people. So it's going to be close to Bristol as well.
Oh,
so we need some
money.
Maybe
we could have an inter-county competition going on.
Yeah.
We could have Swansea is a city and county.
Yeah.
So is Bristol.
Yeah.
Then we could have Cornwall and Devon.
And
Somerset.
So what do people do if they fancy taking part? Do you have to register before? Can they just turn up? Or?
You can just turn up. We've got the event itself has got Get Your Socks Off 3. That one you can find on Facebook. Or you can find Future Festival on Facebook, and it promotes the sock wrestling night as well. And you just find a date, come and see us.
Brilliant.
There'll be food, there'll be music, there'll be a bar as well. So it's a whole thing.
Do you find it gets better as the evening goes on then, if you've got a bar?
Yeah, people get less shy as well.
And
then there's
imagine.
Usually some dancing at the end as well. And then so there's some people who kind of like come out of the woodwork at that point and like they're like, nobody's really looking and I'm going to have a go as well. Yeah.
Cool. But, well, we hope it's a success. The last two have been brilliant. So we should get donations for socks.
Please do not take your shoes off, Andrew.
So anyway, it's been lovely to catch up with you. I'm sorry it's a little bit short. We kind of wanted to fit you in now so you got a bit of time before the actual event. So
thank you so much.
But it's lovely to have you back again. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again in the future. Yeah. So
and it'll be international.
Yes.
No in Zook. They're just going to get down
socks
on it.
Off.
I hope you get a shot of trying it out yourselves as well.
Yeah, I should try and come down.
Well, when you've left the studio, we're going to have a practice.
Yeah, that's more what I meant.
Well, I'll tell you what, we can have a practice in a minute because it's time to go across and catch up with Saski.
Saski 5. Oh, yes.
Hey everyone, I'm Saski and welcome to my Saski 5 for Shout Out LGBTQ+ Radio, my celebs and regs, the superstars of modern society making a positive change within the LGBT+ community. And this week I'm with my good friend Lara Folks Brown, CEO and co-founder of Jute. Hey Lara, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for talking to me today. Tell us about Jute. What is it? Tell us a bit more.
Okay, well, as its name suggests, it's just one of those things. It's not a brand, really. It's an ever-evolving idea. And that's just where I want to go with it, really. It's not about applying labels. It's just freedom of expression in whatever form that takes.
Great. What a lovely way to explain that. I love it, describing it like that. So even when we talk about sort of like entrepreneurship and women in business, often people might say, you know, entrepreneurship can be a really risky business, but they also say that, you know, to be an entrepreneur, you need knowledge, passion and fire in your belly. So what's your passion and motivation? What inspires you with your designs for Jute?
Well, I'm an 80s baby, so, you know, there's obviously those influences. But for me, it's really important to spend your life doing what you love as passionately and as perfectly as your heart, mind and instincts will allow you. So, you know, our blisses live in all of our souls and it's just finding that and that, to me, is the greatest chance of leading, you know, towards success.
Yeah, well, that's so true, so true. Always following your heart is going to lead you to the best part in your life, isn't it? So I
totally
agree with that. And it's like furniture and art, isn't it, with you, that people can buy if they go onto your website. Is that right?
Yeah, furniture, artwork, different sort of bespoke oddments that have just been vandalised. and there is a bit of photography thrown in there, which is inspired by nature and street art, which are my two greatest passions.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm with you. I love street art. And, you know, obviously, I've got a list of stuff that I've said off the website that I want. So keep that, please. Please keep that aside.
I've got you.
So, yeah, no, I do love your stuff. You know, talking about sort of intersectionality and women in business, etc., does being a woman and from the LGBT+ community, do you find that holds you back with your business? Or is it quite empowering, sort of knowing you're taking charge or, you know, of your own destiny? What would you say on that?
Yeah, don't get me wrong, like, it can be challenging and there is hurdles to overcome because, you know, obviously we all know there's divides that shouldn't be there but are.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is about bridging that gap and being bold and overcoming those hurdles and just throwing yourself out there and, you know, being brave and going for it and just following our four women. As it were.
Definitely. No, that's such a good example, good answer. And you know what? I some facts here. I actually Googled the top 10 successful entrepreneurs in the world, and they were all men. Now, obviously, don't have any problems with that, but, well, the fact that they were men. But the problem is like, where's all genders? You know, come on, we need more visibility and representation. So I'm really pleased that you are adding to that list, and I'm sure that we'll be seeing you in that top 10 sooner rather than later, Lara. I'm really... I'm I'm really confident.
Thank you. You're too kind. Thank you.
Well, the other thing I was going to say as well, because not only have you got Duke, but you're also one half of the organisers for the City of Philosophers Festival, aren't you? So tell us about that.
Yeah. It's an idea that myself and a school friend have come up with. It's being held in Lichfield on the 31st of March and the 28th of April. So if you're in the area, come down and join us. Yeah. It's a food and arts market. So there's obviously going to be lots of delicious food, which we all love. but also sort of some really, really talented artists that are going to be showcasing their work.
Oh, great. And yeah, this is the thing, sort of, well, art, food and music, you know, you've stole my heart already. So I'm totally, like, looking forward to it. And I'm really pleased that you are doing stuff like that, because we do need more of that sort of cultural and even, like, with the arts and stuff and music, you know, like I say, they all blend so well together. So that's going to be such a great festival. So very quickly for us, Lara, just tell us, where can people find more info about Jute and also the City of Philosophers Festival?
So if you head over to Facebook, it's Official Jute. For Instagram, it's Jute _. And for Twitter, it's Jute14. So Jute is JOOTT. And the same again for City of Philosophers, available on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. By searching City of Philosophers.
Great stuff. Listen, Lara, thank you so much and good luck with everything. And we'll see you soon.
Love and take care. Thank you.
See you soon.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I Love You Always Forever. That's by Donna Lewis. Lovely track, that one. It brings back a few memories, doesn't it, Matthew?
Are you feeling nostalgic?
I am feeling nostalgic, yeah.
It's a tear.
I didn't look, but it was around like 96, 97. It was that kind of time.
Yeah. Ah, yes.
So.
No times I can remember ricocheting down old Compton Street. Poppers in one hand.
You're ricocheting.
And your drink in the other.
I was going to say, your gay starter pack in the other was more what I was thinking.
I didn't know Terry needed a starter pack. I thought he'd come out the womb gay.
Anyway, news team are here. Let's get some news headlines.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 14th of March.
The government is considering a radical measure to remove notions of blame from divorce proceedings, according to local solicitor Edward Lyons, writing in the Chew Valley regional community paper, the Chew Valley Gazette. Mr. Lyons reports that new rules on marriage are due this autumn and should allow for divorce to take place for one overarching reason, the irretrievable breakdown of a marriage. At the same time, courts are becoming more strict when it comes to the terms of divorce settlements. There have been several cases of late where ongoing maintenance has not been granted to the partner in a heterosexual marriage who is deemed to have a lesser income. The courts, says Mr. Lyons, will no longer routinely order spousal maintenance for life. Both parties now face an expectation to maximise their incomes and earning capacities. Meanwhile, although same-sex marriages are only a few years old in the United Kingdom, preliminary research suggests that same-sex couples are not more likely to split than their straight counterparts. Indeed, some recent research has suggested that over long periods of time, gay men can expect their relationship to be more enduring than either heterosexual or lesbian couplings.
BBC Radio 4 and the famous dissident radio network Radio Free Europe are among those reporting a new intellectual offensive against minorities in the democratically challenged state of Russia. The Kremlin has closed most independent media, and LGBT people, artists, subcultural groups and the official opposition are routinely harassed by the government and its supporters. In a new move, Moscow has proposed a sovereign internet. According to technical activists and free speech advocates, the new laws working their way through the Russian Duma would gut the free aspects of the internet, allowing the state to control traffic in and out of the country and, crucially, grant them jurisdiction to close down any websites of which the state disapproves. The internet, which has traditionally been a free speech platform beloved of many beleaguered minorities, is increasingly being controlled by countries with questionable democratic credentials. For LGBT people, if the state is successful in switching off gay and trans internet traffic, then the scope for getting fair and free media will be curtailed, although lo-fi solutions such as the independent and underground press and foreign radio stations like Radio Free Europe and the BBC World Service will still be available.
Justin Bieber has a rather large gay following thanks to his catchy pop tunes and, some would argue, his winsome looks. However, he prompted some raised eyebrows amongst anyone with an interest in libertarian sexuality with his revelation that he abstained from sex for a year before his recent marriage to Hailey Baldwin. Bieber also alarmed atheist commentators with an assertion which appears to suggest that enjoying free sex is painful and is forbidden by God. Mr. Bieber said, according to the UK newspaper columnist Andre Harmsworth, "God is trying to protect you from hurt and pain, and I think that sex can cause you a lot of pain." Mr. Bieber is supportive of LGBT human rights, however, and his gay fan base has said there's no suggestion he's adopted fundamentalist forms of religion.
"Not all men are bullies" was the lead letter in the Trotskyist newspaper The Socialist Worker last week. The left-wing weekly cited correspondent Oliver Provost criticising the recent television and cinema commercial for Gillette razors, which had emphasised the negative aspects of what has been described as toxic masculinity. Mr. Provost had sharp words for those on the left and in the feminist movement who described all men as a problem. "The Gillette advertisement focuses on the worst of male behaviour," he wrote. "But not all men are bullies. Let's not let the adverts divide us."
And finally, it's now been 25 years since the death of Derek Jarman, an inspirational gay filmmaker who collaborated with the Pet Shop Boys and directed such seminal movies as Jubilee, Caravaggio and Blue. Mr. Jarman is featured in the March issue of the gay and bi men's magazine Attitude. The magazine looks back at his singular impact on both mainstream and gay culture and his politics. From his diagnosis with HIV in 1986, Jarman threw himself into campaigning, and he helped give voice to the wider lesbian and gay communities during the fight against Section 28. He positioned himself firmly on the radical wing of the movement and endorsed the civil disobedience politics of outrage rather than the lobbying moderation of Stonewall, an organisation he remained highly critical of. Jarman passed away at the end of the winter of 1994. His garden at Dungeness in Kent remains a shrine for his many fans. You can read more at the Attitude magazine, which retails at £5.25 from newsagents throughout the region.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Matthew Tosh.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, another bit of a blast from the past, that one. That's I Think We're Alone Now. And that's by Tiffany.
I remember Tiffany.
Yeah.
She was a teen sensation, wasn't she, in about 1988?
Yes. Mm. Yes, quite energetic.
Really.
Yeah. Real. Did you pick that one on me? Was that one of the ones you put in, or did I go find that?
You put that one in.
Oh, yeah.
Don't blame me.
No, I can't remember. It was last night. A lot's happened today. So, anyway, this is your slot, this one. You did an interview, didn't you?
I interviewed the director of a new film. Well, it was released across Europe last year. It's being released, is on general release tomorrow in the UK. Netflix have got the rights for it in across North America and Canada as well.
Cool.
It's won so many awards. It's called Girl. The director's Lucas Daunt, who I'll be interviewing. It's won the Camera d'Or European Film Discovery Award, the Prix for Prisky, and Certain Regard Award for Best Actor. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's quite a big movie.
Cool. Should we have a listen?
Yeah, let's have a listen before, and then we can make comment after. Yeah. Lucas Daunt, hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, Steph.
Now, what gave you the idea of doing a movie about a trans girl, especially a young trans girl?
The idea for the film started in 2009. I was 18 years old at the time, and I was just going to start film school. And I read an article in a Flemish newspaper about a young 15-year-old trans girl called Nora, who wanted to become a classical dancer, and who was assigned male at birth. And I was immediately very drawn to her as a character, as a person, but also to her story, because I thought that the combination of this young trans person and the world of the classical dance, which is a world that is still very binary to date, was a very cinematographic combination. And I saw a lot of potential there. And actually, the first idea was to shoot a documentary with Nora. And I met her in that same year. She decided that she did not want to be in front of a camera, but that she wanted to work with us on a script and make it into a fiction film. And that's what we did.
So it's a dramatization of a real life story, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Victor Polster, that incredible actor, you would never guess that it was his first movie appearance. Now, I understand he is a ballet dancer. What drew you to Victor to play the part?
Well, I think that the first time me and my team saw Victor, we were all mesmerized by the way that this person danced, by the discipline that this person radiated, and this elegance that was just mesmerizing to look at. And the casting for this film was very complex. We saw over 500 young people. Of course, we needed a sort of level of classical dance, but we also needed someone that could carry the weight of this feature film, because the camera stays on the protagonists the whole time. And I think with Victor, we just all fell in love with him. And when I showed his audition tape to Nora, she also felt like this was the person who could represent her in a mature, elegant way, and we went for that. And I think my highlight of making this film is working with Victor, this 15-year-old that is extremely disciplined, extremely mature, extremely elegant, and that went all the way to make this performance unforgettable.
Yep, the Volvan, I should leave.
Bonne chance.
Bonne chance.
Je klassieke techniek moet natuurlijk verder geperfectioneerd worden, maar voldoet. Dus ik denk dat het goed is dat we een achttal weken proberen.
C'est une nouvelle vie. C'est un grand moment pour la famille, pour nous trois.
Mijn meisjes, we beginnen al op 12 jaar, hè, op ons plan.
Ze moeten harder werken, anders is het een hopeloze situatie.
Ziet er goed uit, gestraald. Heb je nog zitten aftellen naar uw hormonenbehandeling?
Ja.
Was Victor surprised that you approached him for a part of a trans girl?
Well, Victor came to audition for one of the dancers in the film. So originally, this person did not come to audition for the main role. But then when I saw him, I just felt like this was someone that really had the potential to carry the film. And when I proposed it to him, he came to audition for the protagonist, and we immediately found out that this was the one we were looking for.
Now, when people see the movie, they'll understand as well why you chose Victor, because Victor's very androgynous.
Yes, Victor. You know, when I met Victor, for me, he transcended the idea of man or woman. He has a sort of angelic quality. He has an elegance. He's someone that is as in touch with femininity as with masculinity, or whatever that even means. And for me, this was a young person that is an example of someone that is just a human being with a lot of beautiful qualities. And I felt like this was what we needed for the film.
Yeah, I guess the youth of today would say that was non-binary or gender fluid.
Yes, exactly. That is the word.
Now, the film is beautiful. The acting from Victor, as I said, is absolutely superb. And the pain in Lara is palpable all the way through. And I won't ruin the ending for our listeners. What made you go with the ending you did?
Well, I think it was important to me. I mean, this film is in a way a very physical film. I think all the central themes of this film are surrounded around the themes of physicality, whether it be dance or adolescence or this being a young trans teen. And when we talked with Nora, when I talked with Nora over the course of these 7 years, what always came back is this sort of difficulty of being in a body that she didn't respond to, that she didn't correspond with, that she had a sort of aversion towards, yet at the same time choosing a world that is extremely focused on the body, and how that conflict inside of her, but also just her conflict, was something that was very difficult for her to cope with. And I think that building up the film like we did gives a sort of insight into a mental space, into a physical space that this character is in, and that and what she's feeling. And I hope that a wide audience, whether it be a trans or a cis audience, really, after this film, really was able to go inside of the head of this character and live with her through what she's going through in this film.
We gaan de vrouwelijke puberteit zo goed mogelijk nabootsen. Maar de effecten zijn dus wel onomkeerbaar.
C'est pas compliqué. Tu veux qu'on prenne pour une fille ou pour un mec?
Fille.
Et voilà.
Je te demande comment ça va parce que tu ne dis jamais rien. Voilà pourquoi je te demande comment ça va.
Il y a une raison, non?
Il y a une raison de quoi? Pourquoi tu ne dis plus jamais rien?
Maar het is misschien omdat ze haar pa.
Ik kan toch niet opgeven, hè?
Ah, nee.
Oh, come on, vooruit.
Stop. T'es dans une des meilleures écoles de danse du pays. T'as des médecins qui te suivent. Tout se passe bien. Hein? Tout se passe bien.
Also in the movie, there's no mention of the mother. Was that something you'd done on purpose?
Well, I think when we were writing, for us it was really important to stress on a father-child relationship. The father of Nora is really an example of support and of love for his daughter. And I think I really wanted to stress on that, because the father-child relationship in a lot of LGBT movies is always a represented as a sort of problematic relationship, and in this film it's really the contrary. It's a relationship that is very supporting and loving, and this person does not question the identity of his kid. And we felt like having a mother there would then we would not only have to focus on the father-child, but also on the father-mother and on the mother-child relationship. And we wanted it to be very purely on a father and his daughter.
Yeah, and beautiful it was as well, and supremely supported by the father. Lucas, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Steph.
Bye, and good luck with the next one. I'm really looking forward to your next movie.
Thank you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT Radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Hello, I'm Steve.
And I'm Tom.
And welcome to Under the Brolly Episode 3, the My Umbrella podcast, in partnership with Shoutout Radio. Just a reminder of what this podcast is about and why we're doing this. Essentially, the reason why we're doing this is to spread awareness of the lesser talked about LGBT plus identity, sexualities, orientations, and also genders.
This month, we're talking about homoromanticism.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Homoromanticism.
It's easy for you to say. Basically, we're talking about those people that identify as homoromantic.
And as we haven't had any My Umbrella events recently involving Pride and such, because the main Pride season doesn't start until the spring, we thought the best people to talk about being homoromantic would be ourselves.
Because we're both homoromantic on the asexual spectrum. Now, although Tom said that we haven't actually been to any recent Pride events because Pride season hasn't kicked off, I would like to make a very small shout out to everybody that was at the University of Westminster a couple of weeks back, where the My Umbrella crew were there for Student Pride 2019, which was a really great little event. We had fantastic take up from loads of people that came to talk to us and find out more about what we do. And also we had a load of people place pre-orders for our Guide to LGBT+, which is available on our Etsy site. Now, you can get to this if you go onto our My Umbrella webpage, myumbrella.org.uk/shop, and you can place a pre-order for the Guide to LGBT+ 2019, which is due to go to print May 2019 as well. So if you want to continue to follow this podcast with Under the Brolly and then find out more about all the different LGBT+ sexualities, orientations, genders and identities, then I would definitely encourage you to order a copy. Anyway, enough about all the plugging to get us donations in to allow us to keep doing this great work. I suppose we better talk to you about what being homoromantic or homoromanticism is.
As we found out through making this, homoromanticism is quite a difficult word to say. So, basically, being homoromantic is a more complex way of describing yourself as being a romantic person on the asexual spectrum who is romantically attracted to people of the same sex. So, for those who may not know, being an asexual person is where you feel no sexual attraction or desire to any other people. However, you may have romantic feelings towards other people, and of course you may be straight, you may be bi, you may be gay, but those feelings won't be sexual. So instead of saying you're an asexual gay man or an asexual lesbian, you might say that you're homoromantic because you're still romantically attracted to people, but not sexually.
So from the other angle, as Tom's already said, so you can be straight and you can also experience romantic attraction to other people. So not wishing to dilute the fact that we're talking about homoromantic individuals or homoromanticism, I'm going to get it right by the end of this podcast, I swear. You can also be heteroromantic, which is if you are a straight individual but who is romantically attracted to somebody of the opposite sex. In the same way that you can be biromantic, where you're romantically attracted to both sexes.
And if you have access to our LGBT guide, you'll see inside we have got all the different flags. So I'm going to show you the homoromantic flag now.
That's really helpful for those of you that are actually seeing this, or who are not seeing this, in fact.
I just held the book up to the microphone. So if you'd like some audio description, it is essentially the LGBT pride flag, the rainbow flag, except that it is a slightly washed out looking kind of colour, except it has a heart shape in the middle, which is in the proper bright colours. So it's kind of a bit like the pride flag, but with more of an emphasis on the heart, so representing the romantic side of things.
Mm-hmm. I like how you said washed out, as opposed to it's a pastel colours around the outside with a really garish heart in the middle of a really prominent rainbow symbol.
So I guess for some people who may not be familiar with the different romantic attractions, what is it like to be homoromantic?
Well, coming from a personal experience for myself, I've always experienced the same feelings of being romantically attracted to essentially people of the same sex. And I've experienced this from a very, very young age and never really understood why other people maybe didn't feel the same. But at the same time, I didn't experience any sexual attraction to anybody in particular. I was just quite happy about meeting someone, getting a bit closer to them, kissing, cuddling, falling asleep in each other's arms. It's like a really, really bad romance story.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're homoromantic, the kind of experiences that you desire are kind of what most people would see in a, you know, a romantic film. But you know, a lot of people,
what, like from the 1950s where you don't get to see any sex at all?
Well, I was going to say, you wouldn't normally in a traditional relationship that you see other people in, you'd see them in public maybe kissing and cuddling, but you wouldn't see them having sex unless it was a very strange situation. So you'd almost have that desire to be close to someone, but you wouldn't want to go any further with that. So being homoromantic kind of means to be, you know, maybe cuddling someone or very much in love with someone, because it's all about love as well as it being romance. It's just that it doesn't go any further than that. So it is very, very similar to the general kind of asexual description, because it is part of the asexual spectrum. It's just, it's more specifically about being in love and romantically attracted to people the same sex or gender.
So what's really interesting from the other angle is that we often find that in the situation that myself and Tom are in, being a homoromantic asexual couple, we have experienced individuals who, not from the basis of either lack of understanding or ignorance, but maybe a little bit of closed-mindedness, of struggling to understand how we can love each other when we don't have sex, when we're romantically attracted to each other. And the best piece of advice I can possibly give is, as Tom's already very, very clearly pointed out, as far as relationships are concerned, nobody out there has any sort of dealings with anyone else's sex life whatsoever. This is not the sort of thing that you see people doing on the street. And as such, to try and get involved and understand how someone's relationship works or the relationship dynamic, because that person doesn't experience sexual attraction or desire or has any form of sexual desire to do something with that individual, really does baffle me senseless. Mainly on the basis that this is not something that we see people do outside of the bedroom. However, the relationship that myself and Tom have got as homoromantic asexual males, we are in love with each other because we appreciate the romantic attraction towards each other. I have absolutely no will or desire to want to have sex with Tom whatsoever, and my relationship status and my romantic attraction towards him is not influenced any way by any form of sexual desire. So to answer those questions out there of people that are genuinely struggling to understand how our relationship dynamic works, as far as we are concerned, you do not need to have sex in this relationship in order to express how you feel or that you love the other individual that you're in a relationship with. Sex itself is not the be-all and end-all in a relationship. It shouldn't be the thing that makes it, and it certainly shouldn't be the thing that breaks it. The romantic emphasis on our relationship is what continues to cement our feelings towards each other together.
So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of our story, and we would love to hear more from you guys, and of course all the people who will be at the different prides this year. So if you'd like to share your stories and experiences, please get in touch with us on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram. Just search for My Umbrella and use the hashtag Under the Brolly. You can email us info@myumbrella.org.uk and put in the subject line Under the Brolly. So yeah, please get in touch and we'll see you soon.
Great, take care.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Terry dancing along there. That's out on the 5th of May, that track. It's not out yet. That's called Pink Toolbox by Chelsea. And the track that we played before the Under the Brolly podcast was The Sound of Silence by Disturbed. It's quite a good remix, that one, isn't it? So, but I'm liking superb, this one.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good.
I reckon when it does come out, it'll be
bopping away in all the clubs.
I reckon that'll chart.
Yes, I wouldn't be surprised. That would go very well in the hit parade on the wireless.
That's another thing. Maybe we should find out what's in that pink toolbox.
Maybe it's a gay starter kit.
There you go.
Oh dear, no, I do like that. That's quite a cool track, that one. So
very pleasant indeed.
Chelsea, Pink Toolbox.
She's a very attractive young lady as well.
I have to try and make sure we play it closer to 5th May when it's coming out then.
Yeah, definitely. Is that going to go on the H&H playlist?
It'll go on the... Yeah, I'll be playing it tomorrow and Monday.
If you're listening on BCFM, that is.
That's Handbags and High Heels. I do like to clarify that, because H&H does have other meanings.
It does. When that's hashtagged, yes, it goes other places.
I'm too innocent to know. I'll ask you after we come off mic.
Don't ask me. I'm also innocent, Terry. It's Andrew that's the...
We were going to give someone a plug because we thought they'd like it.
Indeed, yes. I believe that if you are in the West Country and in the vicinity of Bristol, it's Southwest Rubbermen on Saturday, I think.
Indeed, yeah. 4 o'clock till 9 at Briscoe, which was formerly the Retreat. I think it's called the Dutch in between as well. So,
friendly bunch.
Nice venue, yeah. If you turn up before, I think there's a leather judging competition going on, because I believe the finals for Mr. Leather UK are happening over at the Shilling that evening, I think.
Are they? Yeah. That's really big for Bristol, isn't it?
It might just be the local heats, so I'm not sure.
Okay. So Mr. Leather happening
also
as well
just to clarify what Carl said is everyone's invited and you don't have to be in any fetish gear. It's going to be a social
Swarm it's based on the Manchester Rubbermen and it is a social event. It's all about being able to get your kit if you want to go along and of course what's really nice is the venue's fully licensed, so you can get a beer you can get food as well. So nice, the only caveat is you do have to be over 18, obviously.
That's the only caveat.
But yes, I believe they've got a few competitions going on and some giveaways and some training sessions and the return of Joe's Puppy Palace.
We missed a trick here. We could have donated half a dozen starter kits, couldn't we?
Get Prowler and Nice and Naughty and other
we could adult do, I was thinking long and hard about this last weekend. We ought to do levels of starter kit, like a 1, 2 and a 3.
Yeah.
So you have a starter kit, then you have like a medium level starter kit, and then you have an advanced level.
Well, you see, that reminds me of that bizarre thing that caused outrage in the gay press. It was only meant as a joke, apparently. Some gay men in London came up with different classes of gay men. So you were, I think, a silver gay man.
Oh yeah,
generally,
and then
you could be gold.
Yeah.
If your relationships with men, and then you were platinum born by
cesarean section.
Yes. Now, some people in the gay press took real umbrage at that, but I think it was only ever meant as a joke.
There are some others around, aren't there? Because you can be an A-gay, I believe. Which, of course,
I am.
Yeah, you know, hip and trendy.
Sorry,
and
A-gay?
An A-gay.
An A-gay, yes.
Yeah, so as you're just Stephanie.
I think I'm Z-class, actually. Need to take refresher lessons, if anyone wants to write it.
You can have a gay starter kit and start all over again, if you like, mate.
I think you could go straight to medium level, Terry, personally.
But yeah, no, do check out the weekend. There's a lot of events going on this weekend, actually, all across Bristol. Lots of people coming from all over the South West and Wales as well. So it'd be lovely if you can come and join us. I'll be there at Swarm.
Lots of people do come across from Wales as well. So
bring some banana bread.
Banana bread.
And some butter. Well, everyone wants a snack at some point.
Fair enough. Well, I have no idea what that has to do with banana bread. But that's it. We are out of time. Thanks for joining us. As always, you can check us out online.
shoutoutradio.lgbt,
which way you can grab podcasts and find out more about us and shows and the like. Anyway, next week we're coming on with the kind of religious thing, aren't we? We're talking to the Quakers.
The Quakers. Yes.
But from myself, Terry and Steph, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye for now.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.